Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show. I hope each and every one of you are feeling the energy that came today compared to what it has been for the last couple of days. You should start to be feeling a lot better. Astrologically, things are going much, much better since we've had this eclipse today. So Happy New Year to all of you. I am very happy this evening to have someone that I have recently met. Her name is Annie Burnside, and she is an author, an educator, and a parent. I love that. And she really just says she's a soul nurturer, and I just love that because she has written a wonderful book called Soul to Soul Parenting, A Guide to Raising a Spiritually Conscious Family. And I want to let you know before I actually get you on, Annie, I want everyone to know that you are more than welcome to call in and chat with Annie and I. We can talk to you about parenting, and she can talk to you about her book. So feel free to call in. Don't even think that we're, you know, into some discussion and that you're going to be interfering. Just go ahead and call, and Don will get you in. So how are you this evening, Annie?
I am great and so honored and thrilled to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Well, listen, it's an honor for me. I understand that you live up in Chicago with your three children and your husband.
Yes.
So, yeah, and so it must be pretty cold up there.
It's pretty chilly, but we were this more your way in Florida. So had a wonderful family time there together. And now we're back in Chicago and loving it, you know. So.
Well, good. Well, excellent. And, you know, I have so many questions for you. And one of the I was so enjoying reading it. One of my main areas, which we'll get into a little later, but I really want to talk to you about boundaries. So if we get off into subjects, make sure that we go back to that, because
absolutely,
I think it is probably one of the key elements in today's world is that you know, I don't know. Oh, there's someone calling me from Sweden. Can you believe it?
Okay.
Well, that's okay. They don't know that I've got the radio show. So anyway, it's about boundaries because so many people have a violation of that these days. And so I'm really excited to talk to you about that. But I want to ask you, Annie, how in the world did you come to write Soul to Soul Parenting? I mean, how did all that happen?
Well, let's see. I'll start from kind of the beginning.
Okay.
I was always a very reflective, contemplative child. That's kind of my natural way. I love depth. And so that was my way. And then when I was 19, my parents went through a difficult divorce. And what I've come to find on this spiritual path, that's really a journey through your own interior, is that those dark nights of the soul often offer tremendous gifts and really a big catalyst for soul growth. And that divorce led me square in the face of my soul purpose later to become a soul nurturer. I did not know it at the time, but my father gave me some books about self-discovery, personal growth, and it felt like I was coming home to information that my soul had yearned for forever, to begin my own personal spiritual journey and really tune into my direct divine connection that we all have. So that was my growth, that became my passion, self-discovery, spiritual books, metaphysics, consciousness. I became a fourth grade teacher for a while up here in Chicago, enjoyed that tremendously. But my heart was really heading towards teaching spirituality. So that's how really it all began. Then I became a stay-at-home mom. And one day I woke up and it was a very strong intuitive feeling. It's time to offer my children what brings me so much purpose, joy, gratitude that drops me to my knees at times, mystical experience. So then I started teaching my own children, and the book is simply what we do in our own family, and that poured out about 5 years later.
Well, that's awesome. It's very interesting what you've said here, because so many parents worry about their divorces. And they're saying, because, you know, I'm an attorney and I do divorces. And so many parents are like, oh my goodness, it's going to hurt the children. But I want to remind all the listeners out that if a parent goes through a divorce, it is part of that child's journey. I mean, I'm not you know, advocating divorce. I'm not saying, you know, go get a divorce.
Yes.
But if you do have to get a divorce, believe me, that child knew about that probably as well as you in your soul contracts before you possibly even came in. And you're a good example of that. Excuse my voice. You're a good example of that, Annie, because that was part of the soul contract for your family.
Very much. And it felt like a glass ceiling had been shattered. Now, was there discomfort? Was there pain? Was there healing and wounds to look at? Yes. But again, part of the growth process for all of us.
Yes.
And I can see that very clearly. And I agree very much with what you're saying. Sometimes relationships are complete. You know, you hope a marriage for the children's sake and the parents lasts in a healthy way, but sometimes it doesn't. And I agree that on a soul level, everyone's in on it, even if it doesn't appear to be that way.
Right. It's exactly right. Now, one of the questions I had is, I mean, I know what, when you use the word soul to soul, you know, you're talking about a soul to soul parenting. Specifically, what does that soul mean to you? I mean, what does that really mean to you?
Soul to me is the largest aspect of who we are. And it's where we are connected to the divine source, that deeper space where the life force runs through us and connects us to all that is into all things. So if we can go there with people, that's really where our creativity lies, our well of inspiration, our internal truth, where we can feel resonation. It's just the magnificent part of us, which to me is an actual reflection, an aspect of God itself.
Oh, good. Well, we're right on target. Now, how old are your children? What are their ages?
My children now are 14, a girl, almost 13, a girl, and then a boy age 10. So we are in the thick of it as far as preteen and teen and all that good stuff. And they're reaching for their independence as they should be. And we're navigating it openly and honestly. And we're bumping up against each other as we do. That's all part of it, too.
Right. Well, now I've got a question. And when y'all go to have meals, I mean, regardless of which those would be, do y'all typically all eat together?
You know what? We try to. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They are important and some wonderful family discussions. But for tonight, for instance, it's 6 o'clock here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I'm on with you and I've got a daughter heading to social dance at 7. Mm-hmm. Which is the thing that we do here for eight Tuesday nights for seventh grade. So not every night. And to me, you go there when you can, you make those family, it's a priority, but flexibility in 2010, you know, we do live in a modern busy world.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I know my daughter, it's just my daughter and I, and we do everything we can to eat together at every meal. But if, like you say, it's obviously not feasible for every meal. But what I have a question on social dancing. What is that?
In some places it's called cotillion. It's kind of old fashioned, but where we are outside of Chicago, they eight nights and the boys have to wear a coat and tie and the girls a dress, very suitable dress, not spaghetti straps or anything like that for this. And they learn how to foxtrot, cha-cha, do all these and learn how to kind of navigate boyhood and girlhood and the opposite sex a little bit. And kind of old fashioned, but neat. You don't have to do it, but she signed up to do it. So
that's so awesome. I wish I had something like that here. That's great. Now, What are some of the, you know, when you talk about a soul to soul parenting, can you give all of us some idea of how you utilize that in, you know, a situation that comes up with dating or with an upset in the family? I mean, I know that's a pretty general question, but, you know, just, you know, how does that work?
Well, to me, soul to soul parenting is really trying our best to see beyond the roles of just parent to child. Yes, we're in that role. But to me, soul to soul, it's not really parent to child. It's soul to soul. It's not really neighbor to neighbor. It's soul to soul and onward with every relationship. So we, you know, digestible bites. We started with family discussions when they were 4, 7, and 8 that lasted maybe 5 minutes, 8 minutes. Reading a spiritual book together or any book and pulling out some themes such as self-love, transparency, boundaries, connectedness, and in ways according to how old they are. Our discussions are much more in depth now, sexuality, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But really, from the beginning, the message is you are an eternal, infinite spiritual being first and foremost.
Right. Well,
and the other second. And once that groundwork is laid, when they get off the bus with a disappointment with a friend, right, you've got the language and mm-hmm. you can say, let's look at multiple perspectives here. We use the word dissect a lot. We're going to dissect this out. Let's root it out. Where's the anger really coming from? We mm-hmm. use role play. We use journaling. We use family discussions, one-on-one time, really to dig into that interior a little bit more, as well as see the other person's perspective as well as possible.
Right. Oh, I have to share that something that happened today in our family is that we had gone grocery shopping and had gotten some raspberries, which both of us love. You know, we love fresh raspberries. And so we had gotten several little containers of it. And when I went in to get them, they were gone. And Anya, but right before I was to do that, she didn't realize I was going to find them. She came down and said, you know, Mom, I'm really sorry, but I ate all the raspberries. And I said, oh, okay, well, hon, I'm a little disappointed. And, you know, that's how we handle stuff. We really get into the communication. And I said, oh, wow. I said, I appreciate you telling me, but what happened? And she says, I just couldn't stop eating them.
Yes, that's funny. That's exactly the type of, you know, that's basically how we would handle. I think it's soul to soul. You spoke your truth, but yet you could see she's young and she got carried away. I love blackberries and raspberries too.
Yeah.
I eat whole carton. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened was I said, you know, I'm a little disappointed because I wanted some. And I said, how would you have felt if I had eaten them all? And she says, I'd have been really sad. And so we, you know, we live like that. It's easy, I guess, having just the two of us. But even when other people come in, it really helps because you're in touch with your real feelings and you're not faking out life. And that's what I feel. What I've been very impressed with your book about as I was looking at all the different chapters is that you're looking at the realness of life. And I think most of our children today, and I don't want to be negative here, but so many children are living a facade. I mean, they're having to go here, they're having to go there. Their parents aren't really communicating with them, and they're not really learning who they are, what they are, and why they're here. And I think this is why your book will be very important for families. You know, right now, one of the questions I had, you have prayer boxes. Now we use the God box, but prayer boxes, vision boards, and blessing bowls. Talk to us a little bit about that. That's your, I believe, your chapter 11.
Yes. Well, first of all, when I wrote the book, I really wanted it to be a mix of practical ideas that just you can use everyday life, not on a mountaintop somewhere. We're talking on the ground, in your neighborhood, in your home, and then theoretical for those parents who want an idea of actually what we do teach, and they can teach whatever they choose to teach. But so the prayer boards and vision prayer boxes, vision boards, and blessing bowls are a vehicle that I list in the book. It's a tool. It's a way, to me, it's really a way to express authenticity and gratitude, two big, big themes in our family. So a lot of people have heard of the vision board in and of themselves. Of course, they're not magic, but it's a way to get in touch with who you are and where you're headed and what you love and your passions, and to offer it up and out for the world to see, for you to see every day, to remember. Mm-hmm. And they're fun to do together. So we have four hanging in a very visible spot in our back hallway where we come in and out of our house to the back door. So that's just one thing. And prayer box, again, it's not to us, it's not about worship. It's about gratitude and oneness with each other and all that is. And blessing bowls can be used the same way. It's nice in a family to have some sacredness, some ritual, and it doesn't have to be anything huge or expensive, just some simple things that let everyone know on a regular basis we prioritize spirit, essentially, and raise the vibration of the house a bit instead of just focusing on television and all the external things that we're all so mesmerized with. That's okay too, but to balance it with some of this other.
Right. Well, good. Now, how do you deal in your family with the soul-to-soul parenting? How do y'all deal with the DSs and the Ys? And I don't even know that I say them all. I know about the DS, but
yes.
How do y'all deal with all of that? Because there is that energy in the computer and
It's a great question, technology. I'm really one, and my husband is a high school teacher and a girls varsity soccer coach, so he's really in the on the ground level too with high schoolers. And I'm a big believer, as many masters I know say, what you resist persists. Mm-hmm. So we are not ones in our personal style of parenting to say no TV, no video, no Facebook. Do we monitor it? Yes.
Yeah.
Do we try and balance it with a tremendous respect for nature and our interior and spirit and create imagination? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we tend to handle it. And I have to say, you know, we both use the computer. I'm on Facebook. That's how I think I found you, you know, so it's a great vehicle. And we try and say it's a vehicle, but mm-hmm. that's all that it is.
Yeah.
It's not your life, you know.
Right. Well, and I think that's the key right there. It isn't your life. And I think now I know a lot of parents, Annie, that their kids come to, and they call me about it. And they're friends of mine that have grandkids that do this. They actually go to the dinner table with their Facebook. I mean, not their Facebook, their DS type of, you know, those little
yes.
gadgets. And I told my daughter, I said, as long as you've gotten your, you know, my daughter goes to that Global Village. I think hopefully I told you about that school.
You did. Fantastic.
Yeah. And it is a wonderful school for parents that travel and that want the not the traditional education. And she goes online and she does a lot of her work online through that time for learning. But at the same time, she has to do that before the DS, because what I found was that people, and my daughter was one of them, Annie, where she had gotten so into the DS that we would go out to eat and she would have her DS. And I said, no. We're here to socialize. And, you know, it took a little while. But I feel that a lot of kids are even getting so obsessed with this, and I think it's I think you've got it just perfectly. It's the balance of it, to use it, but not to be. It's just like us. If we sit at the computer,
right.
or, you know, do nothing but that.
It.
That's not balance. Oh yeah. Oh, don't you?
And my body. I've been on too long. I can feel it in my body.
Oh yes. Well, you know when I'm. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, well, part of this, kind of why I wrote the book too. Soul to soul parenting, hopefully we have to offer our kids some options, because they are born in this technological world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to create the space and the opportunity for rich family discussions. They're
mm-hmm.
not just going to necessarily happen. It needs to be conscious and purposeful on our part. What do we want to offer them in the 18 years that they're in our home at such a short time?
Ooh,
and
yes.
that's, we woke up to that, like, oh my goodness, if not who, us, who's going to do it?
Right.
You know, when? So that's something to consider as we balance the technology, offer them an alternative.
Right. Oh, I think that's wonderful. And, you know, being that you have five of you in that family, I can imagine that it would be a little bit more difficult possibly than it is with just my daughter and I, because it's easy just to say, Anya, we need to talk. Let's have a, you know, a chat.
Mm-hmm.
We've been out of touch with each other. But I know having getting three kids together and a husband and a wife would have to be a little bit more of a, you know, planning, I would imagine.
That it is a little bit more. And it's a lot of balance. And, you know, a big part of soul-to-soul parenting, it's about passion.
Mm-hmm.
And joy. And so you're balancing each, you know, my little boy loves baseball and I love spirituality and my and really making space and acknowledging how each person goes up that mountaintop, because it's
right.
different for each of us and
right.
Interrelating around those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed you have a chapter on art. I have to tell you that when my daughter and I get into any kind of a concern or upset, you know, any problem, we go in and we do art and we draw and draw and draw, you know, letting all the anger out, letting all the whatever the negative emotion is. And then on the next page, we draw what we truly are. I mean, in other words, she'll usually draw herself as a beautiful angel and she'll say, this is who I really am. I'm a beautiful, beautiful, angelic little girl, Mom. And so I was interested to see what you do with your art. How do y'all work with art?
In a similar way, just again, a respect for, in an accountability. I love how you say, if we're feeling angry, then we want to get it out. in a way that that's up to us to do, to navigate that and not stuff it down, hide it, deny it, and save it for 30 years from now when it lands in your, when it grows in your body into something you don't want in your body. So they're very much the same way, an appreciation for there are many, many avenues to navigate the emotion. Art also is just is such a creative inspiration. You can just sit and doodle or play with clay, and that's where I get a lot of good ideas for a new book or for an article, and I'm sure that you do too. That's where the answers come. So that quiet stillness where maybe you're moving your hands and you're focused on art is so powerful.
Yes, it is. Actually, art is very, very healing. I know that they have art therapy for children, and but to have it in a home setting is so powerful that they probably don't even need to get to the point where they would have to have the therapy, because if it's being done every day, and this is what I want everyone to realize, that even if you're not a parent listening, or even if you've never had children, you're a grandparent or you have nieces and nephews, you can still use these techniques to work with children, you know, whenever you're with them, teachers, whatever you do with children, it doesn't mean that you have to actually have a child.
And now, modeling that, I think, for parents, are modeling how do you navigate anger? And for you, it might be art. For example, I love to dance. Music is a tremendous gateway. I was a ballerina 6 days a week growing up as a child. And my children know that when I need to navigate something, I often say I'm heading up to my bedroom and I have my music up there and I dance and I dance it out. And, so that can be very, very important. Let your children know that we each have our own personal toolbox, and help them identify what their toolbox is for direct divine connection.
Yeah, well, that's incredible. Yeah. Now, you talk about intimacy in one of your chapters, and tell us a little bit about what that has to do with the parenting, the soul to soul parenting.
Well, I think so many times we fall into the role, and you know, just day to day, the mundane, but that is our life, the mundane, more than a fancy cruise, the being together, washing dishes after dinner or whatever it is. And I think, you know, you often forget to even look the ones that you love the most in the eye, to smile and to connect at that deeper place. And intimacy to me is very important. You know, we all have different levels of what we need. I tend to, if I'm going to be in a relationship with a friend or my spouse or my children, I want to feel comfortable going there. And we're silly and giddy together, but we also talk about a lot of topics. I mentioned sexuality, a lot of different things, instead of shying away from it. And to me, if you're in a family environment, proximity without intimacy can be very more lonely than living on your own, actually.
Yeah, actually, well, you know what? It can be. I've been in a marriage before where even though there was someone around, I felt very lonely. So I totally understand that. It's a phenomenal. One of the things that I wanted to share, too, is that when we learn to let our children, and I know that you mentioned this all through your book, but when we let our children know that we are human like them, I mean, we are spiritual beings, but, you know, living in this human life, it doesn't put them into this little box where they feel like they can't wait to grow up because they have no say-so, or they have no voice, or they have no, as you phrase it, soul that is being recognized. And I think that is such a big aspect of this book, is that they're recognized as important because they are a true soul with a little body at this time. It just happens that their body's little, but not very long from now, they're going to have big bodies.
Right.
You know,
it, to me, soul to soul parenting, whether you speak metaphysics or not, that doesn't matter, but it is seeing and feeling the texture of your child. There's this family that we know of that the boy from a young age loved fabrics and textures and clothing from like age three. That's naturally who he is. The father resisted through the years, and the mother gave him a sewing machine finally at age 12. And a story like that, that is soul to soul parenting at its finest. To see the child and allow who the child is meant to be to flourish. So we really want to help children. They let us know what their gifts are, what their passions are, really what they're here to do. I think at a fairly young age, you see signs of it, to then help nourish that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Well, I want to share a story because it was very similar to what you were talking about with the sewing machine. It was a Christian family. I represented the young boy, and he was getting into a huge amount of trouble. And I looked at him and I said, you know, you're my client, but your parents are here. What can we do to help you so that you can learn to not get into all of this trouble? I mean, let's really talk about this. I did some counseling with him. And the fact was he liked to do tattoos, which is artwork. Mm-hmm. And his family was Christian, and they thought that was of the devil. So what had happened was he said, if they would just let me do what I love to do, get a job in the afternoon after school, I would never get into any trouble. I would not do that because I love tattooing. But that parents, I never could get them, and the child continued until he was 18 years old to get in trouble because he never got to do what he loved.
Yes.
And yeah, so, and then, you know,
the anger, the resentment, you know, we wonder why when kids are 18, there's so much anger, then it gets escalated to things that can get really ugly for them, for society. And I think doing more of a soul to soul approach from the beginning would help solve a lot of society's problems as well.
Well, the thing about it is we want our children to be the way we want them to be, but, you know, we can't. I mean, I learned that. Listen, Annie, I have a son that's, you know, in a cult, and, you know, he has to learn it his way. I mean, and I searched for years to try to get him out of there, and I did more damage than I did good because I truly was not allowing him to live his own path. I saw it as a very negative thing, but the fact is, probably for him, it wasn't, obviously. And who knows from a soul contract what he needed to learn from that.
Right, exactly. And I do want to say to all the listeners out there, because mm-hmm. I know some people start to think, oh, is this just free-form parenting? No, absolutely not at all. I mean, I think you and I, having talked to you before, would both agree. I mean, we are the parent in the home.
Yes.
There are some boundaries, there are guidelines,
yes.
But there comes a point where we do need to allow our children to be comfortable within their own skin.
Yes, exactly. And they do need, and the more boundaries. Now let's talk about boundaries. It's one of my most favorite subjects.
Yeah.
Because boundaries in a family are critical to a child learning how to respect themselves and thus respecting other people. So how do you work with boundaries in your family, and how does that work with your soul-to-soul parenting spiritual themes?
Well, gosh, boundaries, I love the topic too, and it's something that I myself, that's been a life theme that I've really had to work on, being empathic as a child and very much so now. And truly understanding that we are all one sometimes has led me to not have many boundaries and mm-hmm. taking on other people's debris and wanting to do other people's work for them. And even with our own children, again, although we're connected and ultimately we are one on a metaphysical level, when we are here, we are very much here on our own path to do our soul purpose, is what my belief is. So really, boundaries are important, that children see you as an entity in your own right, with passion, with joys, with wounds perhaps that need to be healed, and that you see them in the same way. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that a lot. I mean, our girls share a room, so in some ways we don't have physical, our house is fairly small. We overlap a lot in that way, but mm-hmm. respect for each other as a unique, creative being is very
right.
paramount.
Right. Now, how do you deal with boundaries when, like when you and your husband want to just have some quiet time? I mean, just maybe you want to just watch TV, the two of you together. How do y'all work with that kind of boundaries?
Definitely. We would say, you know what, mommy and daddy, we need a little bit of time to share, to talk. Our marriage is very important, to us. And that's what we desire to do. So we're going to watch a movie up here, and maybe we'll put one on for you all in the basement, or it's time for you all to go up to your rooms and play, or, you know, read a book or do whatever you like to do, listen to your music. But again, I think it is important for children to see the parents as beings in their own right, who have needs and desires and have a right to ask for what they need. I was always taught, you know, you put everyone else first, the other person, almost don't shine your light too brightly because it'll make the other person feel badly. And as I've gone down the path of spirituality, to me, it's become an interior path that's actually led me to tremendous self-love and a right to factor myself in. And I would like to model that for my children, to give them permission to do the same.
Well, it's very important, because if a child can't see that the parent can love themselves, then they go off. And I think this is what happens sometimes, Annie, is you see these children and they want to get away because they want their own freedom and they want their own space. And they're like, I'll never be like that myself. So they run off at age 18, 19, 20. They get married. They get pregnant. They go through the same routine and they go back to a different kind of entrapment that they felt that they had as a child, because they really never learned that self-love. They never really learned those boundaries and the connectiveness with spirit and with their own self. It doesn't have anything to do with religion, but it's just that connectiveness with who they are. And, you know, it's self-love is, as I always tell my daughter, I said, if you don't love yourself and really love yourself, how can you honestly know how to love somebody else?
I know, that's so true. And I, you know, as we talk about self-love and boundaries, it's coming to me, they go so hand in hand.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel like I was allowed to create boundaries that I needed until I began to love myself.
That's very true.
So very much. And, you know, people say, well, how do you begin? It's an ongoing process. You begin uncovering in your interior. If it takes AA, if it takes therapy, if it takes channeling, if it takes intuitives, whatever, drumming, spirit circles, books. But to me, this is soul to soul parenting is 50% or more is the parent going down this path of self-discovery to look more deeply in his or her own interior. And once the self-love begins to rise in the parent, nothing almost needs to be spoken. The energy of the house will be uplifted.
Yes, well, I agree with that. Now, I have to tell you, as with my daughter, I had to. She had a hard time sleeping alone because she's an empath and she's a medium, and so she sees spirits and she can communicate with them and they can communicate with her. And we had to get her a little kitten, which we got about 2-3 months ago. It's not so little now, but that's the only way that I could really get her to feel comfortable, because the little kitten just seems to be there in a beautiful way for her. And now she has that freedom to, you know, to realize that it was a wonderful gift for her. Yes. It was about what love she has experienced. And I told her, I said, you know, we have 4 dogs, Annie. And I said, I'm not going to take care of the little kitten. So it is your responsibility. And she has done 100% of taking care. I don't feed. I don't do anything for the little kitten. Of course, I love the little kitten when she's around. She's right on my she's on her princess pillow right by my healing table as we're doing the show right now. So she's right here with me. But I have found, I don't know if you've had any experiences like that, but with pets, what a wonderful opportunity. But you must, again, it's that boundaries. It's those letting them love themselves enough to know that they can truly take care of a kitten and do a good job. She's only 11, and she does an incredible job, because I told her I would not be able to take care of the kitten. It would be strictly for her. I didn't know if she could do it. She promised, and I said, then show me that you can do it. And she has had more fun proving me wrong. I mean, you know, we've almost made a game out of it. You know, it's like, I can do it, mommy. I can do it. And I say, I know you can, you know.
Well, so, I love that story. I mean, to me, this is what you're modeling there and sharing. It's parents not being so rigid, and it's got to be done one way. I mean, you know, your daughter was having trouble sleeping and you think outside the box.
Oh yeah, you have
to. Intuition. Yeah. You get creative. Yeah. Let's, you know, you're feeling angry. Let's draw it out. Let's role play it out. And really being willing to serve your children in that way, offering them many, many different ways to look at things and navigate things.
Yeah, it's very important. Now, I do want to remind, we haven't had any callers tonight. I know it's early in the year, but I do want y'all to know that you can join in on the conversation. And if you have a question for Annie, or if you have some issues with your own children, feel free to call in, because we're just chatting away. So I'm not getting any messages on my, I just wanted Don to know. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing any callers, because I wasn't seeing anything on there. Now, I want to also let everyone know how they can get your book. How can they buy your book, Annie? Let's see. Probably you would go to annieburnside.com. Is that where they would get the book?
Probably the easiest, yes, it's either soul2soulparenting.com or annieburnside.com. It's available everywhere online, Target,
Okay.
Borders, Amazon. That'd be the easiest, probably online.
Okay, good. Because it's a wonderful book. Now, there's so much I wanted to talk to you about. How do you deal with your children? Now, like when they're all the three of them together and they all want the same, oh, I don't know, they want to watch TV together, and only one of them, they all want something different, and they only have one TV, say, for that particular time. How do you training them, or how do they work together to not have, these constant battles that are in families so much that we see?
Well, I'll say right now, soul to soul parenting and conscious parenting, it's definitely not about perfection. So our family is, we're working on accountability and transparency and sharing, just like any other. But definitely we try and communicate it out first about, well, maybe so and so picked before, and then if we have to, we'll draw out of a hat, try and get a little creative with it. For sure, the understanding though that, each person has a right to desire the show that they want, but we're going to have to compromise for sure.
Well, go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that sounds like there, when you can put a little bit of fun in it and make some more of a game out of it, that it, I think you used the word crank up the joy, because whenever you put a game in for something, and I know, because when we get into stuff and Anya gets upset or I get upset, the first thing I do is I have to twist it very quickly and make a funny game out of it. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do it. Oh, yes, let me do it. So I just wondered, with three kids, I've never had three kids, so not this life anyway.
It's definitely, they're learning a lot from the flip side of the chaos sometimes that it might feel like to some people. And I know families with five and six and kids, but you learn a lot, because we're all mirrors for one another as well. And that's part of soul to soul parenting, teaching that in a way they can understand that when you're really plugged into something, it's not really about the other person, that it's something within your interior that perhaps needs to be looked at. And they've seen me do that a lot. Oh, I'm very open. Oh, I came home and for some reason I had this confrontation, or I felt very angry or plugged in. And then I say, I'm going to sit with my journal. I'm going to get to the root of this. What is it in me that is so plugged in? So you begin to use words like that. And that becomes a language that when they get older, you say, oh, I had really bad vibes about that. What does that mean, Mom? Well, I was at a coffee with this person, and I began to get kind of a pit in my stomach and a headache. We're teaching them a lot how to use their body as a wonderful red light, green light navigational system, so that all these things they'll be able to utilize later and now. But later, my husband and I, we get eye rolls sometimes now that they're older. It was easier when they were younger, but now it's time for family discussion and we lose a little humor. I see that eye roll, girls, but we're definitely heading into the living room for our family discussion. And we truly believe that this will be the best of what we offered our children. Even
And
if
you,
they don't show us now,
well, I was about to say, and I just saw a vision when you were talking about that. I can just see it now. When they get their families, they're going to go through the same thing, and they're going to have this. And the kids love it. Our kids, we have to remember this, that whenever I get into a situation, Annie, and I don't really know how to handle it, I'll stop dead cold in my tracks and I'll say, oh, what should I do, Anya? I'll say that to my daughter. I'll say, what should I do? If you were the parent and I did this, what would you do? And I tell you, it turns the table, and but within 5 minutes, we're like on the floor laughing, because she will be harder on herself. She'll say, oh, I think you should take my DS and my computer and my bed and my drapes. I think you should just take my whole bedroom away, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's a little extreme, don't you think? And I mean, it's just hysterical, because, but it puts them back into realizing that we don't always have all the answers either. I mean, because sometimes I just stop. I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this, Anya. I'm upset. You know, I'm upset.
A little role play. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
We do. We also call it in our family too, a powerful pause. And that's not full blown meditation. We've taught our children that as well, you know, active meditation or a more formal kind, but just the powerful pause. Then I might need to do the same thing. I'm going to need to sit quietly and breathe deeply and feel my next step. And, you know, train your children to do that for themselves as well. It's okay to stop, get still. And that, in fact, encourage that frequently throughout every day.
Well, you know, we had a good experience today, and I want to share it with everybody. And it's a little off the subject, but I have had so many friends who have had family that have had cancer. And one of the biggest issues with cancer, you know, is an alkaline versus an acidic body. And supposedly you can't get cancer if you have an alkaline body. So Anya and I went out today and got those little strips. Are you familiar with those little strips,
yes,
Annie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we both tasted them, and I was alkaline and she was very acidic. And I'm going to tell you, it upset her to the, I mean, you would not believe, oh my gosh. And she has started eating well because she saw it for the very first time, how her eating habits, I mean, she's heard me say it a million times, you know, if you eat this, you know, this isn't good for you. But when she saw it for herself, oh my goodness, she is eating yogurt now and different things that are a little bit more alkaline. And then we'll do the test every couple of days to see how she's doing. Do y'all have issues with a lot of the foods,
Yeah, we definitely have to, we eat fairly healthily for sure. And yet we eat out a lot, and, you know, after a game. So again, the balance, we're not just strict anything. It's funny that you bring up the alkaline, the acidic. My kids did see me go through that about 5 years ago. I needed to heal from something. And a medical intuitive who was a dear friend put me on a very strict vegan diet for 3 months to alkaline my body. And we do a lot of body awareness in the family, where to love and acknowledge and be very in touch with your own body. They saw me literally sitting and rubbing and talking to my liver and healing, asking it to heal. So there's a real feeling with soul-to-soul parenting that we can take part in our own healing much more than we ever realized.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So
what do you mean by the spirit mobile or mobile, or what is
mobile?
That?
Oh, that's mobile. Our car. We have spirit on our, we all had a family discussion and voted to get spirit on the license plate. And I drive a minivan. This is the family car. And it's just, we had a big discussion one day years ago about, you know, we're out and about in our car, and who are we being when we make that stop at the grocery store, or you run into Starbucks and you get a coffee, or you see someone on the street, a homeless person perhaps, or even a friend, just that we are all soul nurturers. And that doesn't mean that you're a doormat in any way. You have your boundaries, but what are you offering? What's the energy that when we head out in our spirit mobile, it's just kind of a symbol for being very aware that we're offering energy through our words, our thoughts, our presence with another person? Are we looking at them? Are we aware of them also as a spiritual being? So the spirit mobile is just a funny symbol. And we've got joy on our glove compartment, and these quirky little bubble letters, and trust on our steering wheel. And, you know, it's funny. I do a lot of carpooling. You know, my kids are in sports and different things. And I've asked my kids, now that they're older and these things have been up there for years, do you want us to, you know, do you want me to take the little things off and say, no, we don't, which it says a lot, because you do get the eye roll. But when push comes to shove, they're in on it. They're proud of our family. That's who we are, you know.
Okay, well, let's take a different shift here, Annie. And let's just say someone's listening right now, and they have, whether it's a their own child, or maybe they're one of their sister or brother's children or their grandchildren. Let's just say that the kids don't have any spirituality. They're not, they have religion, but not really. And, you know, they're just kind of, the whole family's just down, just going all different directions. What would you say to someone to help them get started going down this path of, I call it honesty, you know, soul to soul parenting that is honest. It's like real. It's like being real. What would you say one of the first things that they could do?
Well, I think the first thing would be, it's all about the parent, as I said, becoming very clear on what they'd like to offer their children, whether you start journaling about it, doing some little maps on a piece of paper, jotting down ideas. That would be the first step. Two would be, if this resonates at all for a parent, to begin to pick up some different books, not just mine, other books. Do a workshop or two, go to an intuitive or do a little meditation class. Try and open yourself first as a parent down this path of personal growth, even just a little bit. And then you will begin to intuitively know even more what you'd like to offer them. And we started with a family discussion once a week, and we laid it out. This is what we're going to begin doing as a family. What it was, why we were doing it, a chance and a space to be together, and share life experience, mm-hmm. and talk about our different feelings on things. So that would be the first step with the children, I think. And you can do, even if your children are older, I mean, you could read, collect a few spiritual picture books that you want, or watch a movie together, Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
We loved that movie. And then we talk about it. So if that feels more natural to you, a little bit more secular, you don't have to speak the spiritual language. Forrest Gump. Oh, there's no more. Soul to Soul is all over Forrest Gump.
Yes,
he's so soul to soul. So if that's more comfortable, and my husband is a bit more secular like that, he's really good at that. Usually the more deeper metaphysical spiritual conversations I lead, and then he'll come in with, all right, kids, this is another way to look at it. When you're on a soccer field, or you know that movie that we just saw, so you can, this is about using everyday life, books, movies, and then pulling out themes, a theme that just touches you. You might be watching a movie, oh, I'd like to discuss that a little bit more, and write it down. I keep journals all the time and notebooks, and write down ideas. Another good one is gratitude. That's a pretty easy thing, gratitude and appreciation, to talk about. And we really talk about gratitude as a vibration.
Actually, oh, it is.
In our family, and what that means. So you can start out with just kind of what normally people think of as gratitude, but then really take it higher, that feeling of gratitude and what it can mean for your future moments of creating your own reality.
Oh, gratitude is the key to bringing up the vibrational of any family, of any life situation.
Yes.
But regardless of what, we were sitting there in the kitchen the other day, we had a friend over, and there was something that wasn't just, you know, exactly the way Anya wanted it. And she says, oh, life can be really hard. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it can be, but let me explain to you what really is hard. And we went and talked about all a friend of hers who we haven't seen for about a year or two. And she called up the other day, Annie, and they were homeless. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, when you really look at what you have on you, it's incredible. This child does not even have a home. And then all of a sudden she was like, wow, I really do have a lot. And it really shifted the vibration. And all of a sudden she was happy and skipping around the house. And this little simple things like that, it's not that we have to compare. I don't know that it's necessarily about comparing, but sometimes that's what it takes for a child to realize, well, you know, well, what if you didn't have a home? How would you feel? Oh, I wouldn't feel good. Well, then, you know, maybe the home that you have isn't exactly what you want, but you have it, and you have electricity. And we get into very simple talks like that.
Yes. I love that. It doesn't have to be some grand. Then that creates fear in the parent that they can't do it, or that they, but to me, nothing to fear, nothing to lose, and everything to gain. and really trust yourself. I love how you just described that. Esther Jerry Hicks, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh my goodness, yes. I just bought the tape.
Love them. I'm getting ready to teach the master, their new master series. But, you know, we have that emotional scale up in our hallway from the back of their book, so they can pinpoint emotions. And we've really taught them that, you know, those higher emotions of appreciation, joy, and gratitude, that's your gateway to the future reality that you desire and what that means as a co-creator. And they have a great process in the back of one of their books called the Appreciation Rampage. And it's simple. Wherever you are in a line in a post office, the way to quickly raise the vibration is to do an appreciation rampage for everything that right there in that moment you have. And I've done it, in a really long line at the holidays, and you look around this building, the walls, the people, my neighborhood, I walked here, and it immediately uplifts, immediately.
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, I do it all the time. No matter, even if I'm in a not the best mood or something, I'll go out, Annie, and I will say, I'll just, you know, scream out loud. I mean, you know, not internally, out loud, because I live out in the country. And I'll just start yelling out all the things I have gratitude for, even though I don't feel it at the moment, okay, because I'm upset. Within 4 or 5 minutes, I am happy and actually feeling. That's what, you know, it's all about is the feeling.
The
feeling of it. And when you know, you can say that you're happy, but if you don't feel happy, then it's kind of floats off and it doesn't really get that law of attraction. We can have another conversation on that. We'll have to do another show. I love that. Now, what other ideas that do you hope that this book will offer for other people when someone goes to buy Soul to Soul Parenting? What are some of the hopes that you have for this book that will help people?
Well, really, for me, this book, it's so close to my heart because not only do I feel that it would benefit my own children so much in what we offer them, and obviously I believe in it because we're doing it we're right in there with our own children right now today at the ages that they are doing it, but. Really, my grandest hope is to help raise the consciousness of our planet. It goes well beyond just the walls of your own family. Like each of us taking responsibility, and I become almost emotional talking about it, being the change within our own family, being the source of joy begets more joy, generosity begets more generosity, and on and on and on, and being accountable for what we're offering. That's how I truly believe we're going to change the world. Mm-hmm. So I look at it as do it for your own children, but also with that larger vision of world upliftment so that we don't have the shootings down the road. And I mean, that I feel like we have an opportunity to head in a different direction, and it's going to be one family, one individual, one family at a time. And that excites me very, very much.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that because I know my personal journey. Sometimes I think a lot of us feel like that if we're not out there in a big grand scheme, that it isn't important or that we're not making a difference. But each one of us, if we affect one person and then that one person goes out and does a better job, then that person affects someone. And so I feel that every single person listening can have a huge effect and not even realize it. And it isn't even it's just about being real to who you are yourself and then being real with whomever you're involved with, whether it be your own child or your family member or, you know, an extended family member or friends.
Or the cashier at your grocery store.
Yes, yes.
That's Soul to Soul, when I really began to integrate and live it, I mean, it changes everything.
Right.
I mean, I've had the most mystical experiences right in my grocery store. I saw the whole universe in a bagger's eyes one day. Wow. I got my divine flow energy feeling, tears, speechless, breathless, tingling all over, the scalp just pulsating. And God was everywhere in him, in me, in the space in between the store was the most light filled, and it just spontaneously happened by looking at this bag, or I was just observing him bag my groceries. Yeah. So it really, it goes outside your home everywhere. It just exponentially expands.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I want to thank you so much, Annie, for I can't believe that it's already been an hour. I just want to remind everybody to go to annieburnside.com or soul2soulparenting.com. Order your book. And, you know, even though Christmas is over, you can send it to people, your family, as a Happy New Year gift, and buy one for yourself so that, you know, you can be touched by this wonderful book. And I hope that you'll come back and visit with us again, Annie. We would just love to have you. And I want to also invite everyone to go to AskSpiritNow.com. I have some new relationship readings and some past life regressions where we work on finding your soul contracts. We do that. I do that a lot, Annie, to help people to learn, you know, what they're really having to go through this life so that they don't, hopefully they can get it this life and not have to repeat it again. So that's what I do. And
your work is wonderful. Yeah. That would be an initial step too for someone wanting to soul parent. To go and do some work like you're offering to uncover some things.
Yeah, it does help. So, but well, I thank you all, and Happy New Year to everyone. Be back here next Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern. Let's see, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's 4 o'clock Pacific, and I guess 6 o'clock Central. So, Happy New Year, and everybody be blessed. And again, Annie Burnside, Soul to Soul Parenting. Thank you so much, and good night to everyone.
Good night. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.